Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
We are listening to Who Stole the Ding Dong, Who Stole the Bell by Eartha Kitt. I have no idea why it popped in my mind other than I was reading a story that the Scott Brown character from Massachusetts has come out in favor of Kagan the military basher. And so for some reason my mind started to hum Who Stole the Ding Dong, Who Stole the Bell. Go figure how my mind works. Welcome to the Savage Nation. But I'm not fooled by Brown. I mean, I was the only one in the conservative media who said, don't you remember what I said when he was elected? I mean, you were all cheering, there's the next president. Does anybody remember who was the first and only in the conservative media to say, watch out for Scott Brown? Don't you remember what I said to you? Don't you remember I said I've watched too many episodes of the Brotherhood on Showtime? He's just a political hack. Don't expect too much from him. He's just a politician. I was right. Doesn't mean he's a bad guy. He's just another deceiver like all of them. What do you think? How do you think he got where he is? By being straight? If he was straight, he'd be in talk radio and be reviled for telling the truth. That's all. Next case. Open book. The week is Friday over already. TGIF. Week. What a week it's been for me. Let's see. You can call on any topic that we talked about this week. The number here, as you know, is 1-800. What is the number here? 1-800-449-8255. You want to talk about Elena Kagan? Do you want to talk about the fact that she's against the First Amendment and the Second Amendment? So far, we know that. Do you want to talk about the fact that the Playboy article came out Thursday and there was a big, loud silence from the conservative media once again? Do you want to talk about the fact that a conservative won in England, a Tory, and there's been a big, fat yawn from the conservative media about the banning of the only talk show host in America from England? I mean, what do you want me to say? I'm not upset at all. I'm just telling you these are topics that are worthy of discussion, or there are others. We can talk about Laura Bush coming out in favor of Kagan today. I wasn't surprised, but I was shocked to see how nakedly Laura Bush has become the open liberal she always was. Well, she was a closeted liberal. She was a Murano liberal, but she never fooled me. I always knew Laura Bush wore the real pants in the family, and I knew that, hey, did you hear about Laura Bush's new handbag? Yes, it's red, white, and blue on the outside and pink on the inside, symbol shot bang. Not funny. All right, not funny, too obvious. Very good. I don't have a writer. I made it up on the spot, thought it was clever. Teddy is not with me. I was at a chiropractor today. I have a pain in my neck. Why do I have a pain in my neck? Because it was a tough week. I sent my book in Tuesday. The Playboy article came out Thursday. So I have a pain in the neck. It's psychological, but it hurts anyway. As Einstein said to the man who came up to him and said, Herr Einstein, I understand your theory of relativity. It's all imaginary. It's all a dream. Whereupon Herr Einstein jumped up, slapped the man in the face, and said, is that a dream? Welcome to the Savage Nation. Is this a dream? Has anyone read the Playboy article? Is that a dream? I want to tell you something. I got the actual magazine today in the mail. And aside from the fact that the centerfold is a pretty girl, and believe me, she's a pretty girl, and believe me, she's a pretty girl, and believe me, I actually looked at the magazine as opposed to the internet downloading of the article, the interview with me. They're really kind of, you know what it is? There's a lot of people in the media who secretly agree with me, only they can't say it for fear that they're going to lose their job, so they have to look over their shoulder and always couch what they say or apologize for publishing my views. But my logic is so strong. My reasoning is so blunt and so real. It is like a pail of cold water in their faces. They don't hear this stuff. And when they hear it, they say, my God, the guy is right. But they can't say it because they're always looking over their shoulder at a mean-faced, clipped-haired, Kagan-like woman who threatens to throw them out if they dare say a word about reality. You understand that? So if you want another mean-faced, clipped-haired person on the Supreme Court who will turn this country into Venezuela before you can say, let us say, Eleanor Roosevelt, go ahead and vote for Kagan. You don't even have a chance to vote for Kagan. What do you have to say about it? Just because she's trashed the First Amendment and said it's okay for the government to eliminate speech it doesn't approve of, why should you care? You always wanted to live in Iran, didn't you? And just because she said the Second Amendment may not apply unless it applies to flintlock guns in Orrin Hatch's office, what do you care? You never owned a gun anyway, right? Or wrong? Whatever. Or you want to talk about the oil spill that Obama caused. Now, why do I say Obama caused the oil spill? In all of this talk about BP and BP and BP, BP was the single largest donor to Obama for 20 years. Or let's put it to you another way. BP gave more money to Obama, I think, than any other candidate for 20 straight years. Or let's put it to you another way. The government media complex is not explaining that Obama is connected to BP, not at the hip, but at the shoulders, the hip, the nose, the ears, the eyes, the nose, and the mouth. So there it is. That's the beginning. It's Friday. It's Open Mic to Mike Friday. 1-800-449-8255. I have a special treat for you. The treat is this. I went on to the website, YouTube, and it showed Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey, who went toe-to-toe with a reporter, calling him thin-skin, and went at him really tooth and glove. And I loved it that we finally have a straight-talking politician. In fact, I think Chris Christie should be run for the president of the United States. He's better than any current Republican out there. The guy's so straight. So let's listen to 2, 3, and 4 in a row.
Governor, do you think this sort of confrontational tone you take a future job getting this through the legislature?
You know, Tom, you must be the thinnest skinned guy in America. Because you think that's a confrontational tone, then, you should really see me when I'm pissed. I love when people say they don't want to have argument. That's what we were sent here for. They believe in certain things. They believe in bigger government, higher taxes, and more spending. Here it is. I believe in less government, lower taxes, and in empowering local officials who are elected by their citizens to be able to fix their problems. That may lead to a disagreement or two. You guys want to continue to talk about this process stuff, about my tone, my combativeness. You know, we got them standing in the doorway of the Senate saying they won't even hold a hearing on an enormously qualified Supreme Court nominee. You know, but that's not combative or confrontational. Of course not. You know, only I'm combative or confrontational. Listen, everybody plays to their part. This is who I am. Like it or not, you guys are stuck with me for 4 years.
Now, there is a politician. The man says it like it is. He's not afraid of the media. The media guy, by the way, skidded away. Incidentally, the media guy was a minority who thought that he could get over on Chris Christie with the Minority Act. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a minority. How dare you speak to me at all in any way? But they're deferential and on all fours begging me for my approval. Chris Christie gave it to him with both barrels. The guy slithered away because he's not in the same league. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Heavenly shades of night are falling. It's twilight time. Out of the mist, your voice is calling.
It is the Savage Nation. It's Friday. We survived another week together. Look at this. When you were 20, did you think you'd live this long? I mean, truthfully, most of you didn't. I have a very morbid sense of humor, number one. I'm very morbid, number two, as you can tell by the Playboy article. But I was during the break, I was reading about death and from skin cancer. I was trying to, like, you know, cheer myself up. It said deadly cancer soars in women. Now, you're going to take it wrong, not because it soars in women. I'll tell you why I said it made me happy in a strange way. It says melanoma among the young increased by 50% between 1980 and 2004, study finds. The reason I'm happy is not because they got sick and died of cancer. Is because I stopped sitting in the sun around 1980 when I first got, you know, the skin cancer, went to the dermatologist, and they warned me. And he said, you had all the sun you ever have for the rest of your life, you never need it. Because I remember going back to when I was a little kid. What did my mother know? God bless her, Mom, please don't get mad at me in heaven. They knew nothing. They thought the more sun, the better. The more you burnt the skin off a child, the better the child was. So they put you in the sun perhaps in a swimming pool in the Catskill Mountains in the 1950s, and they let you sit there and play till the skin burned off your back. And they'd say, you look good, you got color, you got color. Little they know they were killing the child. It's the same with the food. They thought the fattier the food, the better the food. The heavier the food, the better the food. The fatter the kid, the better the kid. They didn't mean anything by it. They were trying to be good. You know, what can I tell you? It's just a societal thing. So 5, 6, 7, 8 times I've had them removed from my head because I know, and I like the sun, and I don't sit in the sun. But girls, ladies, women, children, boys and girls, for God's sakes, the sun is your enemy. It is your enemy. Increase in the use of tanning salons, exposure to the sun's damaging rays, melanoma. It's one of the worst cancers to die from. There's no such thing as a good cancer, but it's horrible. And the only good news about this is that if it's caught early enough, you can probably have the early, you know, cells that have turned bad removed and prevent the melanoma from forming. In young men, melanoma rates level off between 1980 and 2004, which is interesting. So apparently men don't go to as many, you know, tanning booths or whatever. This is very serious stuff. This has nothing to do with liberal or conservative, unless you're crazy and you want to say, let's see, I hate Savage. I hate everything he says. He's never right. So if he says the sun is bad, the sun is good, I think I'm going to go sit in the sun now for 3 weeks in a row. Go ahead, be my guest. I hope every liberal on the Upper East Side who voted for Obama and thinks he's great, go sit in the sun now for 3 months. Do me a favor. In fact, sit in the sun 10 hours a day until the election comes out. That's what I'd like you to do. Do me a favor. Since everything I say is wrong and I don't know anything that I'm talking about, go sit in the sun now every day right till election day. If you disagree, how stupid can you be? Even your enemies sometimes know what they're talking about. But I'm not your enemy, as I'm going to prove to you very shortly. I'm watching the Chris Christie thing, and I link down to other conservatives who've ripped libs, right? And take a guess what I find. What do I find? I find this on YouTube. Play it.
I want to talk about something else. I closed my show yesterday with an impassioned plea to the mentally abused liberals. And who are mentally abusing the rest of the country. You see, the problem with people who have been mentally abused as children or physically abused is they tend to abuse everyone around them as adults. Liberals are like abused children. They may not have been physically abused, but they've been mentally abused. And now that many of them have power, they're abusing the rest of us to get even though we're not their enemy. So I closed my show with the following epilogue. And here's what I said. I said how liberals can have such hatred in their hearts for people like myself, how they will take the side of the Islamic extremists over the president and over the troops, how they will take the side of the enemy in virtually every interchange, and can only be answered with one statement. Liberalism is a mental disorder, and I don't have the cure for it. And I then said, those of you who think I'm your enemy, if you think I'm a bigger enemy to you, for example, let's start with this. For those of you who are obsessed with certain topics, and you think that I, a frank-speaking man, I, Michael Savage, am your biggest enemy, then you're proving to me that liberalism is a mental disorder. Why do I say that? Because I do not pose any direct threat to any of you. Who does pose a direct threat to you? Our common enemy. A common enemy who would hang you, cut your throat, throw you down a well, or collapse a wall of bricks on you. So a man who speaks out trying to defend all of us becomes your enemy. Why? Because you're sick. Because you're mentally ill and you need help. You need more help than you can imagine, but you'll be the last person to understand how sick you are. What it's going to take to wake you up is anyone's guess. I have a pretty good idea what it's going to take. It'll be like 55,000 degrees over your city, and they'll be cheering throughout the Middle East. And then one of you or two of you who are spending all your days and nights now attacking Michael Savage will then come to understand that you have had bigger problems and bigger enemies than I. I don't expect you to change. I know you're mentally ill. I know that, and you can't help yourself. The mentally ill cannot heal themselves. I then go on to say, all you snotty liberals who look over all of these things like it means nothing. What's wrong with you? When did you lose your soul? When did it exactly happen? Was it the pot in high school? What exactly was it? The coke in the 80s? When do you think as a liberal you lost your soul? What did it to you? What was the turning point? What was that tipping point in your life as a liberal looking back? when you lost your soul and started to hate America, and you started to hate everything that was normal and sane about this country. When did you lose your perspective on reality, is what I'd like to ask you. See, I don't hate liberals. I've got to make that very clear. Basically, they're not bad people, by and large. They leave you alone. I don't like their politics. They don't like mine. But they're not harmful. Most of them are nice people. They're just pleasure-oriented. They like nice things, and they want to be left alone. I understand that. But how they could have such hatred in their hearts for people like myself, who spend their every waking minute with every fiber in their being, trying to wake America up to the danger it is in, how they will take the side of the Islamic extremists over the president and over the troops, how they will take the side of the enemy at virtually every interchange, can only be answered with one statement. Liberalism is a mental disorder, and I don't have the cure for it. But I will never relent in my desire to awaken all of America with God's will, and that's how I closed the show yesterday.
Now, sorry for the poor sound quality. I took a big risk in running this. We couldn't find the original. But that is worthy of transcription. It's so good in that the doctor is in and the cure is cannot be found for liberalism. I mean, liberalism is a mental disorder. It's incurable. And I think I defined the disease, but I don't have the cure for it. There is no cure. Some diseases are incurable. As you can see, it's in a terminal state. If they could elect a man like Obama, and despite the fact that he's anti-First Amendment, Second Amendment, Third Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, and they still think he's a wonderful man, again, sorry, it's incurable, a disease. So all I can do is sort of diagnose. I can't cure. I'm like most doctors. We're very good at diagnosis, but there are very few cures out there, to be frank with you. Although some would argue that the truth itself can lead to the cure, I'm not so optimistic. There is some hope. There is some hope. I saw an article that some of the wealthiest Jewish donors to Obama think he's a psychopath. I'm not inventing the word. That's the word circulating in rich Jewish circles, that they feel that they were tricked and deceived and that he's actually a psychopath. I couldn't believe that they would say that. I couldn't believe it. I'm not a donor.
Savage.
How do you feel about President Obama naming Elena Kagan to be the, if she's confirmed, the third woman justice serving on the Supreme Court at the same time?
I think it's great. I'm really glad that there will be three if she's confirmed. I like to have women on the Supreme Court.
You think it makes a difference?
I think it does make a difference. And, you know, I just like women to be represented in all parts of American political and civic life.
Isn't this amazing that Laura Bush doesn't refer to Kagan's extremist policies, does not refer to Kagan's dim view of the First and Second Amendments? She doesn't refer to Kagan's extreme liberalism, only that she's a woman. Now, either this proves that Laura Bush is a Stepford wife who is really facile, which is one way to look at it, or that she's a super lib, which is probably true. Or she's both. In either case, I'm not surprised, but I was shocked that she would be so blunt about it. Here's a bigger story on the Savage Nation. Heinz ketchup is changing its famous recipe by lowering the salt content in order to appeal to more health-conscious consumers, which I think is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I love ketchup myself. I'm a ketchup lover. I used to use the hippie ketchup in the 70s when I was into that. It's disgusting. Have you ever tried the hippie ketchup? It's horrible. You know, all natural with nothing in it. Why use it? The whole object of using a sauce is to get a flavor out of it. I mean, I know it has salt in it, so what? So I eat grapes at night after I eat something high in salt. How smart do you have to be? If you indulge too much in sodium, so before you go to sleep, say eat a half a banana. You know what I'm saying? What is wrong with this country that everything has to be an extremist response? Please don't call me on ketchup. What else is here? Roman Polanski hit by new sex allegations. You hear this one? Hit Friday today by new allegations of sexual misconduct by a British actress who claims the director forced himself on her just after her 16th birthday in 1982. Here's a woman who's probably on a walker with a transfusion tree because she can get a ka-ching out of it. Barbara Walters undergoes heart surgery. Doctor's very pleased. Here's the question about this. Why do I care? Number two, can't this woman simply disappear from the media landscape? What is it going to take for her to never, ever appear again? Why do I care about this creature? She's like the creature from the Black Lagoon. She never goes away. We wish you luck with your valve, but please disappear. Okay? Pull a disappearo on us. Never come back on the air, Barbara. You're detested. You're despised by America. Okay, I said my piece. British politician stabbed in the stomach as he meets female constituent. A British MP was stabbed in the stomach Friday afternoon, local time, by a crazed constituent. Labour's Stephen Timms, former senior government finance minister, was attacked during a meeting with constituents at his East Ham blah, blah, blah. They will not describe the female. We do not know her ethnic background. We're all waiting to see. Bomb explodes inside Greek courthouse, one wounded. Police uncover plot to kill Indonesia's president. By the way, you see what's going on in Thailand. Let me give you the background on that. You know, you don't really follow it because the newspapers are doing such a terrible job of describing the sides and what they're fighting over. The Reds, the ones wearing the red shirts, are a reincarnation of the dangerous Maoist Red Brigades. In simple terms, the Reds are the bad guys and the other ones are the good guys, okay? Can I make it easier for you? Unless you want to see a mountain of human skulls, then go cheer for the Reds. I'm sure if Jane Fonda could be heard from, she'd be, you know, sitting on an anti-aircraft battery in favor of the Reds. What else, boss? One of three arrested said he knew Times Square bomb suspect. I am so sick of it. They should just hang them in Times Square. Would that work for you, a little pay-per-view of hanging them in Times Square from a lamppost? Give them a 30-day trial, a 30-day appeal, and then hang them in Times Square. Okay, next case. What else is there? Andrea Pizer wrote a great article today in the New York Post. Mosque madness at ground zero. I couldn't agree with her more. She has some, you know, Andrea Pizer is like the Golda Meir of American journalism. She's the only one left in American journalism with a pair of Who Stole the Ding. Play the song so they know what I'm talking about, so they don't think I'm just making this up. Andrea Pizer is the Golda Meir. You get it? Thank you, Andrew. You're the only one left with the ding-dong and the bell. A mosque rises over ground zero, and fed-up New Yorkers are crying no. A chorus of critics from neighbors to those who lost loved ones on 9/11 to me feel as if they've received a swift kick in the teeth. And she's talking about a Muslim house of worship topped by a 13-story cultural center in a building damaged by the fuselage of a jet flown by Muslim extremists into the World Trade Center. Can you hear this? How the devil did this happen? And she, the whole story is there. And she said a rally against the mosque is planned for June 6th, D-Day, by the human rights group Stop Islamization of America. Can you believe this? Executive Director Pamela Geller said, quote, "What could be more insulting and humiliating than a monster mosque in the shadow of the World Trade Center buildings that were brought down by an Islamic Jihad attack? Any decent American, Muslim or otherwise, wouldn't dream of such an insult. It's a stab in the eye of America." Wow. Well, what's the point of talking about it? You know that Bloomberg doesn't have play the ding-dong song again instead of me saying it. You know, Bloomberg lacks this center here. PC lunacy. Our values are life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, property, individual freedoms, equality, democracy, progress. Radical Islam stands for none of this, but rather the will of Allah. Do you understand that? And Islamic hegemony and Islamic supremacy. How clear do you have to be on this, you idiots? Well, okay, you don't care, so I don't care. There's no one listening, apparently. You know, every report I read says talk radio is dead, talk radio is dead. Only old people listen to talk radio. The young people don't listen to talk radio. Young people only listen to Spanish music, Hispanic music stations. Now, let me ask you something. Let's assume that talk radio appeals mainly to older white conservatives. Let's say that is true, and it's probably true. Conservative talk radio appeals to older white conservatives. Should I be ashamed of that? Should I hide that? You want me to start appealing to morons who work in a box factory or walk around with a bandana on their head and don't have 2 cents to spend? What are you people, insane? The people who listen to talk radio are the only ones with money in America. By the way, put two and two together, you schmucks. And most of the people attacking talk radio are in the radio industry. Most of the publications in the radio industry are written by schmucks whose living depends upon the radio industry, and every day they attack talk radio. I don't know what's going on in my country, but I think it's a mental disorder called liberalism. What's the difference? Play me some sound bites here. Wait a minute. Archive segment, Savage on the Anonymous magazine. No, not ready for that. I could ask questions to get you to call. Here's Eric Holder, our Attorney General Electric. Notice I put several words together there. I think it's very funny to say our Attorney General Electric, Eric Holder. I don't know if people don't get the joke. Our Attorney General Electric, Eric Holder, will not say radical Islam when questioned for the reasons for the New York City Times Square bombing. Listen to clip 7.
In the case of all three attempts in the last year, the terrorist attempts, one of which was successful, those individuals have had ties to radical Islam. Do you feel that these individuals might have been incited to take the actions that they did because of radical Islam?
Because of?
Radical Islam.
There are a variety of reasons why I think people have taken these actions. It's hard. One, I think you have to look at each individual case. We're in the process now of talking to Mr. Shahzad to try to understand what it is that drove him to take the action.
Can you believe who we have as the top cop in this country? A man as idiotic as this is now the Attorney General? He's trying to figure out what Shahzad, what motivated him? Shahzad told you what motivated him. He trained in Pakistan, you schmuck. He was trained by Al-Qaeda. What the hell is wrong with this country? You know that Eric Holder is humiliating America by appeasing the Muslims. And that is because, oh, I should stop right here because then we're going to get into the whole Hussein Obama. We're all going to go where we know we have to go, which is that it seems as though there's been a Manchurian candidate who's taken over the country, who has positioned people around himself who know exactly what is going on, but can't or won't say it. So therefore, let's not say it. Let's be like a younger demographic that just listens to Cuban music or Puerto Rican music or dance music. So let's have some salsa music, and let's never do politics again on the Savage Nation. Let's not make Eric Holder uncomfortable by talking about radical Islam. Play Para Vivir. Okay, this is better yet. We're never going to do politics again because we don't offend Obama and Eric Holder. We don't offend anybody. In fact, I'm going to brush up on Spanish and only do my show in Spanish right now in order to make sure that people in Arizona like me. Do you realize that we still have a chance to save this country? Do you realize that if everybody in this country who had the microphone or a TV camera in front of them stood up and got the ding-dong and stood up and said, enough is enough, I care about my children, I care about my country, we're not going to let radical Islam kill us, we're not going to let the gangbangers from Mexico run over us, we've had enough of it, we're not going to take it anymore, you know we could save this country literally within 30 days. Do you understand that? I am sick and tired of being one of the only people in the country saying what I'm saying. And I'm only one of five or six people saying it. But I know that there are tens of millions who agree with me. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Show you how psychopathic the progressive media is. Okay, headline, Thai troops fire on protesters. Now, no one's in favor of a military firing on protesters. That's a very nightmarish concept for the United States of America. However, they call them anti-government protesters. What they are, though, are communists along the lines of the Red Brigades. They're Maoists, the Reds, who want to take over the legitimate government of Thailand. They're fighting literally a revolution against the Thai government. So the Thai government unleashed troops against revolutionaries who would turn Thailand into the Pol Pot Cambodia. So don't you understand, unless you understand the whole story, you could say this is horrible unto itself. These Red Brigades are not nice people, to say the least. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Any topic is fair game. We have some editorials here. I see an article here called Obama the Destroyer. Really appreciate it. You won't be working in this show anymore. How could a man take a title like mine, Obama the Destroyer, and not even quote it and say Michael Savage published, won't be working on this show anymore. That's all I can say. Jen in New York, WOR, welcome. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage.
Yes.
Just I'm listening to you as I do every day as a loyal listener. I just want to let you know, not only old people are listening to you. I'm just 40, and anyone that knows me knows that my day revolves around, hold on, 6 o'clock, I got to listen to Savage.
Well, I know there are women who listen to me, and younger women in particular, and younger men, but the geniuses in the radio media seem to think that only 15-year-old Hispanics listen to radio. They're trying to say that people who listen to talk radio are all old white people who don't count anymore. They're passé. What is wrong with this country that you let advertising people define an audience like that?
Well, I
don't know what to say. I mean, I just had to make my point. Denver, Colorado. Kelly, welcome to the show. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I wanted to thank you for inspiring me to read Plato for the first time.
And what did you get out of reading The Republic?
You know, I just started it. I've just gotten through the introduction and some history of the piece that I bought, and I just am barely into the beginning where they were talking about old age. So I haven't completed it yet, but I wanted to thank you for exposing me to it.
Well, let me say this at the outset so that you don't think I'm deceiving you. I first read this at Jamaica High School as a student. I had a real classical education. In other words, my high school education was superior to most college educations today. But having said that, I still have the original modern literature edition of Plato's Republic. What that book is about is how a state should be ordered, how the ideal state should be run. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Fundamentally, it's an argument for socialism, incidentally. So don't be deceived. I am not suggesting that I'm in favor of socialism. The reason that I find the Republic so brilliant is because of the logic in certain places, because of the reason in certain places. I'll give you an example. He's talking about our guardians of the state, the formation of habits, and he says, our guardians, setting aside every other business, are to dedicate themselves wholly to the maintenance of freedom in the state. Now, it's statements like that that bring me back to Plato. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. So you have to find the concepts in here that you agree with, but you have to watch out for the overall direction of the book about a well-ordered state, which is that the state will run the citizen's life from cradle to grave. Be very careful of that direction that Plato takes people. Remember, it was written thousands of years ago as well, Kelly.
Right, and I'm just excited to read it and, you know, never got exposed to it in public schools and just wanted to...
Look at it. In old age, people are to be freed to range at will. Isn't that beautiful?
And it is. It's beautiful writing and better writing than we've received today.
Right, and it's so literate and it's such good exercise. It's an exercise for your mind. It's like listening to some classical music as opposed to crack music. In other words, if you listen to crack music long enough or listen to Barbara Walters or Walter, any of the news media, your mind becomes jumbled. It weakens your reasoning powers. If you want to increase your reasoning power, read the ancient Greeks. But remember, Plato is to modern Greece what George Bush is to reason. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. Hawaii, Dan, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mike, when I was in my teenage years, I was a hardcore, raging, hateful liberal. At 20 years of age, my dad...
Well, you're not alone at that. It was probably the guava that you were eating from the jungle floor.
You never know. But at 20 years old, my dad bought me Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, and I reluctantly read it, and it changed my worldview. It took me a couple times. I didn't want to read it, but it was just such a well-written book. It made me laugh out loud. And
wow, so my book changed your philosophy. A lot of good it did you in Hawaii. Look what you have now.
I know. We're rooting for...
How does that welfare state survive? What does it live on? Federal grants, isn't that true?
That and tourism. It used to be sugarcane, and now it's...
Well, the two biggest employers in Hawaii are tourism and the military. And yet you have leftist fools in Hawaii who attack the tourist industry and the military. You have to ask them, what would they live on if they ever succeeded in taking the state as a nation? What in the hell would they survive on? What do these fools know about making a dime? Nothing. Most of them have never earned a nickel on their own.
That's true. But, you know, I'm 24 years old. I'm the only person I know who listens to the Savage Nation. I hope my dad listens so I can thank him for getting me that book.
Well, at least in time, in years to come, you'll be glad that you and your father, you know, had an accord and can get along. I really appreciate that. Thank you for calling the Savage Nation. Well, this hour is going to be up in about a minute or so, and then we're going to have another couple of hours here on the Savage Nation. I want to invite you to call on this and any other news topics of today, yesterday or the day before, anything that's been dangling that we have not yet covered. It's shocking to me that our attorney general, when grilled by Alexander, will not say the word radical Islam. Play the last one. You're not going to believe this. Listen to
this. And Ken, I'm saying that a person like Anwar Alaki, for instance, who has a version of Islam.
Stop. Play clip 10. That's what I said, the last one, clip 10.
Right. And I'm saying that a person like Anwar Alaki, for instance, who has a version of Islam that is not consistent with the teachings of it,
but,
and who espouses a radical version.
Could radical Islam have motivated these individuals to take the steps that they did?
I certainly think that it's possible that people who espouse a radical version of Islam have had an ability to have an impact on people like Mr. Shahzad.
Mr. A.G., it's hard to get an answer, yes or no, but let me go on
so
to my next question.
There's Mr. Smith, Lamar Smith, our Texas, trying to get a straight answer out of a man who is not straight, our attorney general, even on a simple question such as the Times Square bomber or the Fort Hood massacre or every one of these last attacks in America by radical Islamists who are laughing all the way to Karachi. Every last one of them is laughing all the way to Karachi that they found a nation filled with such fools and such softness. Let me tell you, my friends, the only way we're ever going to win is if every person in this country comes to understand that unless you toughen your mind the way the French Foreign Legion toughened their hides to the battles that they had to fight in the Sahara, you are going to be nothing but sand.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
President Obama naming Elena Kagan to be the, if she's confirmed, the third woman justice serving on the Supreme Court at the same time.
I think it's great. I'm really glad that there will be three if she's confirmed. I like to have women on the Supreme Court.
All right. Are you surprised that Laura Bush is supporting Elena Kagan's nomination for the Supreme Court simply because she's a woman? You mean any woman would be better than any man, even if the man was a brilliant jurist? Moreover, where are Laura Bush's political sympathies? We know where they are. It's pretty clear to me who she has been. What do you think was the worst thing the Bush team did when they were in office? And which prominent conservatives in government or in the media do you think are secretly liberals? And reverse, which prominent liberals in the government or the media do you think are secret conservatives? And who will be the next fake conservative to get booted out of office? These are the questions. You are the callers. I am the disc jockey. I am Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. It's open mic to Mike Friday. Let us begin on the East Coast. Christopher, New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, it's an honor. Just want to let you know that I'm a 27-year-old Puerto Rican, born and raised in Elmer, Queens. And I've been listening to your show since the age of 21.
Since you're 21. So when you were 21, somebody must have said you should listen to this guy. Who was it?
No, actually, I was working, and I was going through the AM dial at work, and I came upon your, you know, your show, and I listened to you, and at that point, I was like, this man, you know, he just, everything you talked about was things that I had lived or I was living, and it just, everything clicked, and from that day, it just...
See, even though we come from different periods of time and different cultures and different ethnicities, philosophically, we're very, very agreeable. I mean, that's what you're saying, aren't you?
Absolutely. I mean, what you've gone through and then what I've seen through my life, it's just like you're at that place where you've already lived it, done it, and I'm going through it. And it's like everything that you talk about and, you know, teach us, it just... helps to guide, especially young, you know, Hispanic men like myself who, you know, trying to find an identity in America.
Exactly. It must be murder. It must be murder for you to want to be yourself in a world filled with such liberal propaganda, telling you that all Hispanics are oppressed and La Raza is the way. You know that that's all horse crap.
Absolutely. And it just those entities in itself suppress us more and more, and they're not. You know, they try
it's exactly
that.
What Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson have done to young, impressionable blacks for so many decades, in my opinion, which is use you as their own battering ram for their own self-gain. And so be very careful who uses you. It's why I was never used by either political party, because I know, look, the party system is what's destroying America. I think it was George Washington himself who warned us that it would be the parties that would destroy America. Remember, Republican Party... Democrat Party, where's the American in that? They don't stand for America's best interest necessarily. They stand for the advancement of their own party. And so therefore, the people have to say, wait a minute, what the hell is this? What is this, just two business entities fighting for the spoils? Or do they represent the American people? And I think that's what people are awakening to.
Absolutely. And we, you know, I had the chance to live in Phoenix for a while and just to be a part of the Tea Party movement and just to see, like, true Americans out there and Hispanics and coming together, and what the media portrays is such a disgusting portrait of the Hispanics.
In other words, they would like you to believe that there were no Hispanics in the crowd, right? That it was all old white men with Ku Klux Klan robes who spit on the poor oppressed minorities as they walk back humbly to their offices in Congress. That's the official double talk that's coming out of the media. Listen, my friend, I'm glad that you're one of those who have stood up and see what's going on. Let me send you a free copy of Banned in Britain. At least you can enjoy that. This is the Savage Nation. Let's take the other callers. Holder. Let's try to go to the West Coast if we have a West Coast caller. The furthest west we can go is Houston. Dottie, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind, Dottie?
From Southwest, Michael.
Wait, you're from Houston, Texas.
Well, originally San Antonio, but and I love it. It's my home. If someone says, what's your home? I think San Antonio, but there weren't any jobs at the time when we were looking for work after my husband got out of the Air Force. So we ended up...
So what is it, Dottie, what makes you call today?
Well, I called originally because of your smile question you had the other day. When you were younger, you never could understand why the businessmen were smiling.
No, it was the average American man would walk around with a fixed smile on his face, and I found it hard to understand because it's not a natural face for a man. I don't mean you have to go out of your way to scowl, but the natural face of a human being is not that of a smile.
Well, mine is, but I had an Irish grandma that had a saying.
All right, so you have a little leprechaun in you. I understand that.
I have a leprechaun in me, but I wanted to tell you the reason they're smiling is... It's a ruse. They're trying to pretend everything is all right.
Well, it's also the power of positive thinking, and selling people requires a friendly countenance. Look what Obama did with a smile. Look how far he got with a smile. I understand that. In salesmanship, you certainly can do better by smiling than by frowning. That isn't my point. But the presentation of self in everyday life is the issue. I found it odd that people would walk around. Let me give you an example. When I was young, like 18, I remember going to Europe for the first time on a trip one summer with my friends. And what struck me when I arrived in Rome now, was how the men didn't walk around with smiles on their faces. They didn't walk around with hatred or anger. They had a boldness. They looked like lions to me walking in the street. They looked you straight in your face with a leonine look, you know, and they evaluated you. And I said, gee, that looks more real to me than the fixed smile. You know what I'm getting at?
Yes.
In other words, when you're young, you're trying to find your own identity, like that young Puerto Rican guy just said. And so sometimes you have to find it in books. Sometimes you have to find it in people. Other times you have to find it by travel. But the way a man presents his face in everyday life is very is culturally quite different, is the point. So when the Playboy interviewer said to me, why are you angry? And I was stunned by it. He said, what are you giving? Where'd you get the idea I'm angry? What do you want me to do, sit there smiling at him, you know, sucking on a mint so I look like a nice guy? I don't understand the question.
He's an idiot. But the other thing
I wouldn't say he was an idiot. I would say that he was doing his job as a you know, a member in good standing of the LVM. Thank you for the call. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Let's hear the music a minute. I just want to hear it for a second. I got such a bad neck ache. I may as well listen to the music for Friday afternoon. What a neck ache. Oh, it's a pain in the neck, I think it's known as. Some things are simpler than you think. You know that some things are simpler than you think? I have a pain in the neck. So I went to a chiropractor today. My family goes. She's wonderful. Still hurts. I've always been afraid to be adjusted. She did a fine job, but I was afraid that I'd walk out a cripple. I'd have to be rolled out of there. I've always been afraid of chiropractors, and I admitted it to her. But since, you know, my family goes and they swear by her, she not cracked, and I still walked out with a pain in the neck. I went in the same guy. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Some people swear by these people, and they're good. They're nice. I told her my reluctance to be manipulated. She said, well, tell me your reluctance to have your neck cracked. I said, well, let's start with the dying. Number two, getting crippled. She said, come on, seriously. I said, well, I have a friend, a medical doctor friend, whose father died at 46. And she said, yes. He said, well, he ascribes it to, he lived in the Midwest. His dad was a doctor as well, and his dad got a backache once, and he got sick, and he went on a very cold morning to a chiropractor, got his back adjusted, and died of a heart attack. So I said, well, okay, he's connecting the two. There may not be a connection. But I've always been afraid. You lay there with the doing. It is so unnatural to let someone snap your neck. Isn't it the first, you know, you watch movies, martial arts, you let someone get a hold of your neck. Exactly what she was doing, another millimeter, I'm dead. Think of what you have to suspend in order to permit someone to manipulate your spine. It was chilling. I got to tell you the truth. I have never let anybody in my entire life that close to my vertebrae. Let's put it that way. It's frightening. I broke out in a cold, my whole body was in a sweat when I got through. I said, is there a reason I'm in a sweat? She said, well, your body's reacting. I said, no kidding. Like, is it called a fear reaction? Obama, 13,000 mobilized to protect shore and wildlife. Okay, we'll leave aside his looks, how he's starting to look lately, and the finger pointing, not saying one word of his connections to BP. Okay, what else? Don't call about chiropractic, please. It works or it doesn't work. All I know is I'm still in pain. I know what would work, but I'm not going to take it. I mean, I know it would be fine if I just did it. If I did the golfer thing, you know, I'm in heaven for a few hours, but I can't do the golfer thing. It also started with the back. Didn't it start with a backache? I think he claimed it started with a backache. Look where it got him. No, all kidding aside, pain is pain. I've been very lucky all my life. Never had backaches. Then you wake up and something happens. You know, a little this here, da, 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 da. And before you know it, it's like, ugh. But it hurts. The neck hurts. God, I don't know. I think last night I tried an old remedy, which was called a very stiff vodka. The pain went away for a couple of hours. I swear to God. I had a very big drink. And then I didn't even want to leave the house. I came home. I had a drink. The dog was here. It was like a, you know, like a bad night. I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to see anybody. In other words, a normal night for me. And believe me, I could eat in the best restaurant in the universe if I wanted to. I could go to people's house. I don't want to go, so I withdraw. I'm quiet. Why do I have to go out? I thought about why I'd rather eat at home. I could watch television while eating. And you say, oh, that. Do you realize that when you sit in your house and you turn on the computer, you can go virtually anywhere in the world? You have access to the greatest minds of all time on that computer. Sure, you could debase your mind. You can look at internet porn, or you could click on to you know, something, some drivel. But if you want to access the great philosopher, certainly you can. Or you want to access history, you can. You want access knowledge about how something works, you can. You want to know how volcanoes, you know, work, you can. It's the same with TV. I mean, you could say it's garbage, or you could turn on like a history channel or a military history channel or a National Geo channel if they're not just doing the exploitation. And so you're sitting and eating, and meanwhile you're enjoying it, right? You get some of the most brilliant minds of our time producing television shows. They're not stupid. And so now you compare it to sitting at dinner with someone, albeit the person you're sitting with may be smart, but it's so slow to sit with somebody at dinner and try to pull out an idea from them in between the clatter and the ego and the food and the ketchup. It's exhausting. Whereas with a clicker, you can go to military history and you could see how a machine gun works or whatever it is. And before you know it, you've exercised your mind. That's why I say to you, it's a strange thing. Maybe it's a product of my being in the media where I enjoy the media even while I'm resting. But I will tell you the truth. It's reached the point of almost no return with people. I have nothing against people. But it's very hard to enjoy the interaction with people in that I'm an information I'm an information hound. I'm a knowledge hound. I always want to absorb ideas. I want to absorb the new and the things I don't know. I have a thirst for it. So, I mean, I'm just going, you're rambling on, and it's a Friday, that's all. You want to talk politics? You know, talk politics. You want to talk about the oil spill, that if it was a Republican, you'd hear the screams going to the White House, phony, you did it. You had relationships with BP. You weren't there. You were absent. The Interior Secretary was rafting. Phony, phony. But you won't hear it because, you know, it's Obama the loved. What else do you want me to talk about? Again, Playboy? I got the actual magazine. I can read it for you again. You want me to bore you with that? I'm not going to do it. Would you like me to? I can't believe what I'm watching. How did this happen on my computer? It's him again. Again, it's Glenn Beck with a blackboard. How does this happen everywhere I click somewhere? There is this illiterate moron with a blackboard and chalk trying to be a college teacher. Where did this come from, the blackboard and chalk? Doesn't he understand that they don't use blackboards anymore? They use blackberries? This is an example of arrested development. This jerk actually thinks that they still use blackboards. They're using blackberries, Glenn. I realize that you didn't have the opportunity to go past the fifth grade. But son, they're using blackberries. Nobody teaches with a blackboard anymore. God in heaven, somebody save us from this man. I say to myself, how did this happen? I didn't even know how I clicked onto this. There he is again. There he is again, a blackboard and a chalk. Oh, goodness, God, you can't even see the basics of psychology unless you understand a psychology. You know, I understand why that young Puerto Rican guy likes me. Let me explain something about this. Separate from politics. Just relax for a minute and try to hear me out. A lot of families don't have fathers in them. What, 50% of American kids grow up without a father, right? So who are their father figures in this country today? They don't trust politicians, whether they're conservative or liberal. They don't trust any of them. They don't know who to trust. They don't really trust their teachers. They don't trust their preachers. So they find it safer to trust a guy in the media who they don't really know, particularly in radio where it's all voice. It's a very interesting thing, the difference between radio and television. If you're on television, they get to see your face, and then they can make value judgments based upon how you look, right? They can say, well, I don't like his face, or I don't like his eyebrows, I don't like his nostrils, I don't like his hair, I don't like that he doesn't have hair, I like he has too much hair, I don't like his tie, I don't like his jacket, I don't like his makeup, I don't trust his twitch. So they're not listening to the guy. But in radio, you're making a conscious decision to listen only to what the man is saying. So you're actually hearing what I'm saying, the words now. See, the human being, we're an ancient creature. We're a primal creature. Although we think we're modern, we're no different than Neanderthals in some ways. In some ways, we haven't really changed from Neolithic times. Our diet should be that of the Neolithics because our bodies haven't really changed that much. But it's the same with our thought structures in many ways. We are still primitive in those regards, and we still need the storyteller. We still need the wise man. We still need the elder. We still need the father.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. read some headlines and react to them. Here we go. Let's see. All right, turn it off. Paris Hilton to tease with 10th fragrance. Yeah, it's called Skank. Put it on and your family instantly... okay, it's enough said. Lloyd Blankfein pays for new home with cash. $26 million for his new apartment. Where did Lloyd Blankfein get the money from? Well, let's see. Goldman Sachs was bailed out by the government. Goldman Sachs was converted to a bank overnight last December of Bush's administration in order to qualify for the money. So he gets the $26 million apartment, and you get the pink slip. Jerry Seinfeld raising money for Nashville flood victims. Ugh, what PR. Listen, Jerry, you got to do something good in order that people think that you're a good liberal and good. All right, I'll raise money for Nashville flood victims. That's about as serious as Sean Penn going to Haiti and kvetching that the children are not getting what they need in Haiti. Entourage creators developing female-based comedy. I never liked Entourage. I think they're a bunch of skank punks. I don't like them. I never liked that type in high school. I never liked them on television. I don't like things that glorify that kind of stupidity. End of story. What else? Tom Cruise doesn't hop on Oprah's couch. We'll let that fly. Well, because Tom Cruise, we'll let that fly. There's something I could say, but it's not a stand-up routine. Is Miley Cyrus becoming Lindsay Lohan? I don't know who she is, so I can't comment. This shows you my demographic. Ooh, he doesn't know who Miley Cyrus is. He's not relevant. Oh, children who like Miley Cyrus buy cars, right? They buy Mercedes. Sure they do. Sure they do. Keep appealing to 13-year-old girls who screech. They're really the buyers. Go keep appealing to them with radio. Go ahead. Keep dumbing down America to 13-year-old hysterical females. Teen sensation Justin Bieber unattached and dating. Ooh, that's an important story. Not that Eric Holder is a liar or won't say Islamic fascism. Keep talking about a teen sensation that no one ever heard of, but 13-year-old girls who were hysterical, who are on the pill. Barbara Walters recovers from heart surgery. We'll let that go because you can't attack the sick. We'll just let that. New Roman Polanski accuser claims sexually predatory conduct. I mean, you got to ask. Her lawyer is Gloria Allred. Do I have to say any more? A British woman came forward Friday alleging sexual assault against Roman Polanski when she was working on his movie in 1982 and she was 16. Number one, why didn't she come forward since then? Number two, the age of consent was 15 in Paris at the time and she was 16. End of story. He took advantage of me, said the actress. What I want is justice. Gloria Allred, who assisted her client in reporting the alleged attack, is Thursday. Can you believe that a lawyer is allowed to get... Why is Gloria Allred not behind bars? Why are so many of these lawyers not behind bars in orange jumpsuits? Why are they not sent to Haiti to clean toilets? Instead of dirtying up our courts, why are they not cleaning toilets in Haiti? That's what I'd like to know. No one's calling on any of this. I could see her. I'm taking my shots, that's all. The space shuttle, enjoy it while you can. Obama's eliminating it. He wants no NASA. Except one run by the Soviet Union. New York City, WOR. Michael, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I wanted to suggest a way for you to get rid of Eric Holder out of office. I also could tell you something about chiropractic. I think you are the nation's chiropractor, and you don't know it, but let me first...
I'm adjusting the spine of America. That would be a good analogy if there was one.
There are a few people with spine, but very, very few. Anyway, Eric Holder went to Stuyvesant High School. You went to Jamaica. I went to Lincoln. We still have some school pride. I would like you to introduce his name by saying Stuyvesant High School graduate Eric Holder, because he is poisoning the brand of that special school every time he
opens. It was. Stuyvesant High was for very bright kids. So what happened to Eric Holder? The answer is liberalism is a mental disorder.
He might have been an affirmative action student. Who knows? But I think that would be helpful because there are a lot of Stuyvesant High School graduates all over the country, and they would get pissed off, and they would support you, or they would attack you, et cetera.
Yeah, but how many are there? What is there, 1,600 around all of America? You know.
okay.
So I like your analogy that I'm the chiropractor of America. I do like that. But don't I remind you more or less of the men that you grew up with, like your father and your uncles? Don't I sound like them?
You sound like my uncle was a police inspector, and he became a police commissioner in New London, Connecticut. When he walked into a room, he said, "Wow, wow, wow."
Well, what happened to that America? How did we become so wimpified? What happened to the country? How did we become such a nation of beaten-up wimps who don't say our piece anywhere we go, always looking over our shoulder waiting for big sis to hit us with a rolling pin?
They got rid of the rifle team in high school.
Oh, remember those days. Remember I talk about the rifle team? Were you a member of the rifle team when you were a kid? Do you go back that far?
I was on the gymnastics team in 1967, and you know what my parents said? I came back, and I said the JV football coach wanted me to try out, and they said, forget it, you're allergic to grass.
Oh, very good line, cymbal shot. No, when I went to Jamaica High School, there was a rifle team. Nobody ever picked up a gun and ran through the halls and killed anyone. No one shot themselves. It was the age before psychoactive drugs. It was the age before doctors became whack jobs and started prescribing drugs that drive people crazy.
Timothy Leary and his gang.
Timothy Leary was one of the originators of the drugging of America's youth. That is correct, with LSD.
Just tell you.
So we went from LSD to ADD in one generation.
Tell you about.
All right, my friend. I think we milked this one. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. I can't even hold the microphone. Now, if I hold it in the right hand, the neck hurts on the left side. Let me try the left hand. All right, this is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-825. This is horrible. I hope this isn't the beginning of like a demise now into old. I don't want this to be this turning point now. Then I finished the book, I got in Playboy, and the next thing I knew, I was a basket case. I have a very dim sense of humor, I'll be honest with you. I have a long weekend ahead of me, now I'm thinking, I'm trying to fill it with things to do. There's really nothing to do. Okay, let me tell you what I'm going to do. Give you an example. I'm thinking the weekend's here, but I'm not 18. If I was 18, I'd go out with my friends. I'd smoke a joint and go to the Palladium and dance like a lunatic till 3 o'clock in the morning and sneak back into the house. And my father would be like, where were you? And listening to Latin music. It's going to kill you. What are you, crazy? What are you, a junkie? Where are you going? What kind of music is that? I never listened to. How come you listen? Why do you listen to it? Why'd you go there? What are you doing? Are you using drugs? What kind of drug? Why do you do that? What's the matter with you? You're not my son. Get out of this house. But I'm not 18 years old, so I don't go to Latin dances anymore. I have a friend who is my age who still goes because he never developed. God bless him. It makes him happy. It is all a short dance in the sun. If you have a dance to go, it's a great place to go. Here's my weekend. I just discovered that there's an auto show tomorrow of classic cars somewhere near where I live. I'm going to go. That's Sunday. Tomorrow I'm going to go on the boat with a friend. Right. Then I got to fill in Saturday night. Do I want to take friends to dinner? No, I don't want to repeat what I did last Saturday night. Never again. What if you take friends to a dinner and they don't talk? I wanted to take guys out. I mean, I could charge $10,000 to go to dinner with people and they pay it. So I take a few guys to dinner. One of them sits there and eats, like mechanically eating the whole night because I'm paying. So I said to him, what's wrong? You're not saying anything. And he says, I'm listening. So I said, well, what did I take you to dinner for? To listen? I could have brought my dog here for the same reaction I'm getting, and he would have only had a hamburger. He continued to press and knock down one after the other. Give me this. Give me the special crab. Then after the special crab, he wanted a special drink. Oh, that was the end of that one. He won't be invited to dinner again. So I'm not going to repeat that again. No, sir. Sunday is a car show, a classic car show somewhere near me. I'm going to go. I called up a local dealer of exotic cars. Since I bought one from him, I'm going to get a ticket. I said to him, it's not to save the $15 admission. He said, then what is it? I said, I want the VIP parking because I don't want to get the car dinged. He's all right, I got a ticket for you. You're going to go into the VIP parking space. He said, but I warn you, it's not valeted. I said, what do you mean? So you can just park it and someone can hit your door anyway? He said, yes. So I think I'll take my oldest car to the, you know what I mean? Like the old Cadillac. That way I don't care if they ding it because the doors are so well built that if a new car hits the door, they get dinged by hitting the door. The glass is as thick as like a Hitler's bulletproof Mercedes. It's like 20-millimeter glass on a 65 Cadillac. I've never seen anything like this. Well, how did they build cars, man? They knew how to build it. The chrome was thick and the you-know-what was straight when that car was built. I think I'll take that car. That's Sunday already. As you see, I'm like groping. Then I got to fill in Sunday night or else it's like the Ed Sullivan feeling again if I'm alone. You know that Ed Sullivan feel? I talk about the Ed Sullivan like Welshmatz that comes on Sunday night. I used to get that as a kid. I didn't even know I was depressive. All I knew was I was sad on Sunday night. The minute Ed Sullivan came on, I felt depressed. I got like a sick feeling in my stomach. Looking back, I know why. The answer was because tomorrow was school, which I hated. For a kid who hated school, I don't know how I stuck it out so long. I've thought about this all my life. I was not a natural student. I hated a classroom. I hated sitting in a room. I hated it. Yet I went on master's degree, PhD. How did I do it? Why? because I had a quest for learning and I wanted to prove I could earn a great degree, and I did. See, with me, it's all about proving things. With me, it's all about proving I can do things. So then that brings me back to the whole question of life again. How many more things do I have to prove in my life? When do I stop having to prove myself? That's an interesting question. I have a friend who's in his 80s. He's still making movies. He is still inventing things. And I ask myself, what motivates him? He doesn't need the money. He gives the money away. He's a very benevolent man, you know, funding hospitals and all. And he's driven to continue to work. He hates this government. He hates the taxation. He hates the socialism. But he continues to work. And I ask myself, what am I trying to prove? What makes Sammy run? When do you stop? When do you say, I'm hanging up my cleats. I've run the track. I broke the four-minute mile. It's time to get off the stage. You know, you ask yourself these questions, and eventually the answer comes to you. And if you keep asking the question long enough, you realize you've answered it already. Simply by asking it over and over again, you've already answered your question. I'll be right back.
Savage.
People listening to my show today, what percent of you are furious? What percent of you are laughing? What percent are thrilled? What percent are sad, bored, or intrigued? I don't know. Let me read you a story. Philadelphia, perhaps I would say one of the most corrupt cities in America, but it's hard to say today which, you know, how could you say that? San Francisco might be the most corrupt city in America. It's hard to say. New Orleans? I mean, which is the most corrupt city? Are there none corrupt cities in America? They're raising property taxes 10%. I didn't say property taxes will be 10%. They're raising property taxes by 10% in Philadelphia. Wait, and it gets worse. They're going to charge people $300 for trash pickup. They're taxing cigars and smokeless tobacco. One high-profile tax that was not included in the approved budget of corrupt Philadelphia was the proposed soda tax, which would have put a tax of 2 cents per ounce on all soda and sugary drinks under the guise of protecting people's health. I mean, there are so many things you can say about this. A property tax increase and a trash tax. Can you believe we are living in a country that is so melted down that a corrupt city like Philadelphia would have the audacity to raise property taxes by 10% and then charge $300 a year to property owners on top of that? For small businesses, duplex and apartment buildings, for trash pickup. Can you believe we're living in a time like this, that we have no balance anymore? Is it any wonder when you open a newspaper and you see Paris Hilton creates new scent? Yeah, it's called skank. Put it on and everyone runs away. I mean, for God's sakes, how much of that can you take till the people puke? How many of you are furious? Intrigued, sad, bored, thrilled, or laughing? I don't care. Don't call me. I mean, it's your answer, not mine. So there it is. Soda tax out, property tax in Philadelphia. What are the other headlines on michaelsavage.com that you haven't heard yet that you need in order to have an agitated... You need more adjective for the weekend, right? You don't have enough. You don't have enough, so you're going to have more. Let's see. The stock market, Thai troops, battle, protesters. Again, no one says what the... Does anyone really know what is going on? I was the only one to explain what's going on. The government is trying to protect itself against a communist revolution in Thailand in very basic terms. The Reds are the reincarnation of the Khmer Rouge. They're Maoist rebels. They want to take over a legitimate government, and they want to leave a mountain of skulls. So before you start condemning the Thai troops, understand what's going on. But did your media describe that to you? Not any more than they describe that your own government is Marxist-Leninist. Correct? Incorrect? Laughing? Don't understand what I'm saying, but you know I'm right or wrong, right? Well, it is an interesting world that we live in. As the ancient Greek philosopher said, I don't know his name. I forgot. I was having souvlaki with him a few thousand years ago, but I forgot his name. I lost the cell phone number. But as that Greek philosopher said to me, it's good to live in interesting times, right? And we are living in interesting times. Russell Crowe storms out of interview in Robin Hood, accent jibe. I'm so, like, Robin, you know, like, Russell Crowe, the last good movie he was in was Master and Commander. Remember that? But I like Churchill's quote that the British Royal Navy was built on Lash, the rum, and sodomy. I didn't say that. He did. Am I right, Beowulf? Isn't that an exact quote? People don't realize I didn't make that up. Winston Churchill said that the great British Royal Navy was built on three things: the lash, rum, and sodomy. He said it. So what, are you going to call him a name? Call him a name if you want. He's dead. I'm just giving you the historical reality of it. Look it up and see if I made that up. He said other great things, too, and that was one of the greatest things he ever said, that the Royal Navy was built on lash, rum, and sodomy. So what are you going to make of it? I don't know. Make anything you want of it. All I know is that they didn't tax cigars in England in his days. I don't smoke cigars. I don't smoke. I don't sit in suntan. What do you call them? Sun things? What do you call a sun thing that gives cancer? What do they call a tanning thing? Why does anyone want to sit in a tanning thing to look tan? Why do you want to look tan? If you're white, look white. If you're brown, look brown. If you're black, look black. I mean, what is this about looking tan? Whoever said looking tan makes you look good? Well, when I was a kid, I thought looking tan made me look rich because I was poor. When you're poor, you think looking tan makes you look good. So I remember I got a sun lamp. Did I ever tell you the sun lamp story? I may as well. It's a Friday afternoon, early evening, whatever. I think to this day it's why I'm fighting the small skin cancers on the head. Oh, I'm winning still, but it's a losing battle. At a certain point, it's over. It disseminates. You wake up one day, it's like the plague all over you. I got one of the lamps. In those days, it was an ultraviolet lamp, but it was so there were no filters in it. It was like a pell-mell. That sun lamp was like a pell-mell of sun lamps. So my father had it in his market, like a used sun lamp. I brought it home. And every day I'd put the goggles on. I'd come home from Jamaica High School. I figured I'd look like I went to Miami. You hear? You know, when you're poor, you think if you went to Miami, they thought you were rich. Who knew? So I put this thing on, and I sit in front of it. And sometimes I sat in front of it without the goggles on. Can you imagine? It was like the Dr. Scholl's foot thing when I was a kid. You'd go in a shoe store. They had naked, unfiltered x-ray machines. It was very good marketing. You put your foot in the machine, and you look through the eyepiece, and you look down, and you saw the skeleton of your feet and how they fit in the shoe. Wow, what a great marketing tool. Cancer of the foot. I mean, how many times did a kid do that while his sister's foot was being fitted? I sat and zapped my feet over and over again because it was neat to see. Like, it was like Halloween. I mean, you stuck your foot in the Dr. Scholl's fluoroscope machine, and it was like having an instant Halloween, but you didn't have to put the costume on. And your mother, what did she know? Yeah, he's entertaining himself with the Dr. Scholl's x-ray machine on his foot. Did I ever tell you the one about the guy in the planter's peanut costume? I'll tell you that. I'm throwing him out at you because I'm in the mood. I'm giving you some. I'm throwing pearls before oysters. I had a kid, a nasty son of a gun. Oh, a nasty bum. We don't talk. We haven't talked for 20 years, that bum. What a nasty bum. He had a crazy mother. I forgave him. Plus, he was funny. I liked him when I was young. He was a rebel and crazy. We were natural friends. He never grew up, became very demented, went to work in the garment district selling ties. Then he couldn't make a living selling ties. He married a lawyer, busted her out in a marriage, whatever. I don't know what he's doing today. The point is, he was so nasty on Times Square in those days. There were poor people who walked around dressed up as a peanut, in a doctor, like a peanut, Mr. Peanut. So they put on a peanut shell with signs, a poor guy with a top hat and with a cane, and he'd walk around, you know, advertising Mr. Peanut. This guy would go up to him, I swear to God, take out a cigarette lighter, and he would try to set the peanut on fire, the peanut shell. I said, what are you doing? I was like, Barry, stop it. What are you doing? Nah, he says, he's just a bum. And the guy would scream, get out of here, kid. Get out of here with the, you know, there were scared guys, like homeless guys in there. And the guy is a diehard liberal, that very same guy, Barry. Is Mr. Liberal, loves Obama, and can't understand what's going on in the country that anybody would oppose him, okay?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now listen.
How do you feel about President Obama naming Elena Kagan to be the, if she's confirmed, the third woman justice serving on the Supreme Court at the same time?
I think it's great. I'm really glad that there will be three if she's confirmed. I like to have women on the Supreme Court.
Do you think it makes a difference?
I think it does make a difference. And, you know, I just like women to be represented in all parts of American political and civic life.
It's Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. Well, there are many, many different topics today. Phenomenal, all over the map. To me, I mean, I don't know where to begin other than to say to you that former First Lady Laura Bush went on Fox News today to say she supports the nomination of Elena Kagan to the Supreme Court, which confirms everything I was telling you for eight straight years about the Bush family. I mean, are you surprised that Laura Bush is supporting Elena Kagan's nomination for the Supreme Court? I was not surprised, but I was shocked. Okay? What do you think was the worst thing Bush did when he was in office? Which prominent conservatives in government or the media do you think are really secret liberals? That's a great question. And what do you think the most important single issue is for a conservative to be supporting? Who will be the next false conservative to get outed and thrown out of office? These are the questions for today's Savage Nation show. We'll keep talking about this and other topics on the show today, but let's stop for a minute. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today. It is time for the Savage Nation Week in Review. Listen to this audio clip.
With so many voices clamoring for attention on blogs and on cable and on talk radio, it can be difficult at times to sift through it all. Let's face it, even some of the craziest claims can quickly gain traction. I've had some experience in that regard. Fortunately, you will be well positioned to navigate this terrain.
Here is a so-called teacher talking about the real La Raza.
As a militante of Unión del Barrio, a revolutionary Mexican organization here, we understand what the camarada is saying. You're right, this is not just about Mexico. This is about a global struggle against imperialism and capitalism.
Yes.
But we know that all of that is happening in the context that where we now stand is stolen, occupied Mexico.
Wait, there's more.
Why is it that these people, these frail, racist white people, want to keep us out of this country? It's not because simply the color of our skin. It's not simply because they just want to exploit us. Let me tell you why. Because on this planet right now, of 6 billion people, at the forefront of the revolutionary movement is the Raza.
Can you believe this? The official nomination of Kagan.
While we can't presume to replace Justice Stevens' wisdom or experience, I have selected a nominee who I believe embodies that same excellence, independence, integrity, and passion for the law, and who can ultimately provide that same kind of leadership on the court. Our Solicitor General and my friend, Elena Kagan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I am honored and I am humbled by this nomination and by the confidence you have shown in me.
What an accent. It makes me sound as though I'm speaking the King's English.
During the last year, my long-standing appreciation by upholding the rule of law, long-standing to walk into the highest court in this country, law a lawyer can perform. Great law schools, all of us. Law, I am proud of what all of us accomplished there. Law, long-standing law schools. Law, I've had the simple joy of teaching, all of us. But because law matters. Law, joy, law, all of us, joy, law, all of us, law, joy, law.
Then came time for Gordon Brown to step down.
I've informed the Queen's private secretary that it's my intention to tender my resignation to the Queen In the event that the Queen accepts, I shall advise her to invite the Leader of the Opposition to seek to form a government. I wish the next Prime Minister well as he makes the important choices for the future.
Here is the new Prime Minister of England.
I came into politics because I love this country. I think its best days still lie ahead, and I believe deeply in public service. And I think the service our country needs right now is to face up to our really big challenges, to confront our problems, to take difficult decisions, to lead people through those difficult decisions so that together we can reach better times ahead.
Well, then the new 3D Playboy was announced.
Lo and behold, it's Playboy's latest centerfold.
Holy cow.
In 3D.
This is the beautiful naked body in three dimensions, jumping out of the page into your arms.
It looks very realistic. Like, I could just touch it.
Like, I'm in a strip club, lady. She's right in front of me about to dance.
The same issue that has Playboy's 8,000-word interview with yours truly, Michael Savage, in 2D. That's it for our Savage Review of the Week. On my website on the bottom, who will warn the West of the mortal threat to existence as Einstein did to FDR, asks Lev Navarov of the World Tribune. The U.S. has joined the U.N. initiative to bridge the Islam-West divide. Wow, that's a good one. Finally, on the bottom of michaelsavage.com, will there soon be drugs to help us live to 100 available? Soon? Would you want to live to 122 and see what Obama's going to do to America? I don't know. That's it from michaelsavage.com.
Savage.
Every day, this elected leader is called a dictator here, and we just accept it and accept it. And this is mainstream media who should truly, there should be a bar by which they, one goes to prison for these kinds of lies.
It is Friday, and here's James Hurston with a report on the shenanigans going on in Hollywood.
Sean Penn has been sent to anger management. That's quite a mouthful. Sean Penn sent to anger management. Well, here's what happened. After the dictator-worshipping actor was charged with a misdemeanor for his non-Gandhi-like behavior with a photographer, Penn was sentenced to 3 years of probation, 36 hours of anger management, and another 300 hours of community service. Now, I'd love to attend those anger management classes. And one thing I'd love to find out is, what is the basis of Penn's temper tantrums? Part of the reason Penn has an anger problem could have to do with his parents. Maybe the sins of the father are visited upon the son.
Why do you say that?
Sean Penn's dad, Leo, advocated U.S. neutrality in the war in Europe during that period of time in World War II where there was a short-lived non-aggression treaty between the Soviet Union and Nazi Germany. But after Hitler attacked the Soviets, Leo Penn switched, just like the other lefties in Hollywood and in the United States, and this pacifist all of a sudden urged America to enter the war. Well, the lefties did that because that's what Joe Stalin wanted. But at least Leo Penn was an honest and open communist. He was a guy who said that he was a commie, and he refused to accuse others to that House Un-American Activities Committee, and Leo Penn, Sean Penn's father, was blacklisted. Could it be that his son, Sean Penn, is burdened with a huge chip on his shoulder because of what happened to his dad? Well, maybe that's why Sean Penn stays busy cozying up with people like Venezuelan despot Hugo Chavez all the time. Chavez has said that Penn is his buddy. He's read aloud from his letters. He's referenced him in televised propaganda speeches. But Penn's main activity is that of an actor, and his main pursuit these days is the hunt for an Oscar. but an agenda Oscar. I mean, after all, Al Gore and Michael Moore can't be the only recipients of the ideologically oriented Academy Award. Penn's approach has worked well. I mean, he recently took home the Best Actor statue for that 2008 film, Milk. But now Penn has jumped into another flick nobody would care about except for diehard lefties. The title of the movie, Fair Game. Well, that's the name of a book. A book that should have been placed in the fiction section of the bookstore that was written by Valerie Plame and Joe Wilson.
Oh my God.
While they're the left's favorite liberal operative couple, the lying Wilsons have been rewarded with lots of deals and cash. Plame made a book deal with Simon & Schuster. She filed a lawsuit against the CIA over classified material she wanted to publish. And of course, this boring, tedious book, which claimed that she was outed as a classified agent, isn't that ironic, didn't do that well, but was of great interest to certain folks in Hollywood, those that have that ideological lens and want to further the liberal agenda. Warner Brothers bought the rights to Plame's memoir before it was even determined that the CIA would allow her to publish any of it. And the studio found money. They found it from the left-leaning group Participant Media. They're the ones that have brought us An Inconvenient Truth and Syriana and Good Night. Good luck.
What a surprise.
And in this group from Abu Dhabi called Imagination, the couple signed a deal with Warner Brothers to offer consulting services. So they even got more cash. They moved out of Washington, D.C. They live in the mountains in New Mexico. It's all worked out for them. And the movie tells the story, and I mean story, as in fairy tale, of Valerie Plame, the poor victim, suffering from being outed as a CIA agent by these Bush administration officials. I mean, according to the flick, Plame's cover was blown to retaliate because her husband, Ambassador Joseph Wilson, wrote an op-ed column for the New York Times that accused the White House of manipulating intelligence for the invasion of Iraq. The word is that Penn's portrayal of Wilson in this movie comes off whiny and preachy. What a surprise, considering that most of Penn's recent roles are whiny and preachy. The film will do poorly at the box office because nobody's going to go see it except for the folks that religiously watch Countdown on MSNBC. And that's, what is that about? 17 people. And on top of that, Sean Penn has never been that much of a box office draw. I think it all went downhill after he married Madonna. But Valerie Plame is played by Naomi Watts, and you may remember her. I mean, she's a blonde, as she once was King Kong's girlfriend. Not that King Kong has anything in common with Joe Wilson. This film, Fair Game, will premiere in Cannes, at the Cannes Film Festival, along with other America-bashing films like Oliver Stone's Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps that bashes capitalism, and Inside Job, this documentary by Charles Ferguson that talks about the financial meltdown. Of course, it leaves out Chris Dodd, Barney Frank, and the other Dems. And Penn is on the road to another Oscar. As long as the current president, Barack Obama, doesn't take a role in a movie, then he'll get the Oscar. And this, of course, is despite the fact that this movie, Fair Game, is based on lies. And it's unfair. I mean, the central premise of the Plame story is that Plame's status as a covert agent was disclosed by Bob Novak via Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, or some other Bush administration officials, insiders. And the Wilsons, who claimed to have suffered from being outed, were pretty high profile before this so-called scandal. I mean, they posed for a photo in Vanity Fair. I mean, and after all, Joseph Wilson wrote his op-ed in the New York Times about a sensitive mission, not exactly, you know, a little private memo. The truth is that the CIA, outed Plame 7 years before Novak ever wrote a word about her. The CIA inadvertently, they say, compromised Plame because they didn't take appropriate measures to safeguard classified documents that the agency routed to the Swiss embassy in Havana. Now, so this disclosure, the CIA disclosure, was made not to Americans, but to Fidel Castro's anti-American regime. Ironically, Novak was not the first journalist to write about Wilson and Plame, and was not the first journalist to talk about her former vocation. Left-wing writer David Korn referenced Plame's vocation long before Novak. Korn wrote one of these hypothetical articles that was very similar to Novak's, and Korn's source is said to be none other than the guy Sean Penn is portraying in the movie, former ambassador and left-wing apparatchik Joe Wilson. And despite the fact that Fair Game is based on lies, Penn's going to take home that ideological Oscar. The Hollywood agenda marches on. Thanks, Michael, for exposing unfairness in so-called nonfiction, even when it is labeled Fair Game. Back to you, my friend.
Thanks for the report, James.
Savage.
I recently read an article from Michael Warbowski from digitaljournal.com in which he asks the newly elected Prime Minister of England to lift the ban on Michael Savage from entering Britain. Mr. Warbowski now joins us on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. It's a delight to be with you on the Savage Nation today.
Well, what motivated you to write this article? I thank you for it, but what motivated you to write it? We don't know each other.
Well, Dr. Savage, I come from a family of immigrants here in Canada who lived under the former communist regime, where freedom of speech was squashed, and people with dissenting opinions were blacklisted and had experienced a lot of political difficulties. And after the fall of the Berlin Wall, I lived in the former Czech Republic, Czechoslovakia, and I began to become very attuned to the fact that dissenting opinions have to be defended. And when I, of course, heard about your first ban that was the British government instituted, I immediately flinched, and I felt that if I agree or disagree with your views, it's another matter. But in the best tradition of the Enlightenment and the philosophers such as Voltaire, who says, I do not agree with what you have to say, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it. And that, I think, is the motto by which I go by as a journalist. And I think that a ban is the equivalent of a blacklist, and it is not becoming, it's unfitting of a democracy such as England to institute such practices. It certainly, I think, diminishes democracy in that country. And I felt very strongly that you should go to England, express your views freely there, and that spurred me to write this piece.
You seem to take my ban on a personal level.
I do, because I am an Anglophile. I have to admit it on the air. I have a deep attachment to the United Kingdom. I studied there, and I was lucky enough to express my views and to fine-tune my journalistic skills there. And you have mentioned the great thinkers of the tradition of toleration, and I felt personally that I should speak up for you. Because in the great tradition of John Locke or John Stuart Mill, Edmund Burke, and of course Churchill, it is. I think if they were around today, they would have also abhorred the idea of banning someone who is a law-abiding citizen who has perhaps opposing views to those of officialdom, to ban him from coming to the cradle of democracy, of modern democracy, was really something that I don't think any of us should stand by and allow that to happen without expressing ourselves and showing our displeasure about such a measure.
You mentioned the Czech Republic. What ties do you have there?
Well, precisely, yes. I should specify my parents immigrated to Canada, and I came to the Czech Republic just after the fall of the wall, when democracy and the free market, so to speak, came into being there. And again, what touched me personally about your situation was that I was banned, or I had a travel ban imposed on me, because I was writing at the time for a Czech newspaper, which did not have very favorable views of the Cuban government. And just out of principle, I felt that I was sort of singled out and in a way blacklisted by a government. And thanks to some maneuvering, diplomatic maneuvering and so forth, I was able to obtain the press visa that I wanted and did cover a news story at the time in the late 1990s in Cuba. So I understand from personal experience what it's like to not be allowed to travel to a country, and I have a sense of empathy for your situation in that sense. As a journalist and someone who I think is very much on the forefront of defending freedom of speech, not only for myself but for anyone who perhaps gives a controversial opinion out there. I think whether he's a politician or a radio show host or perhaps a journalist or whatever, he should be able or she should be able to express herself without seeing governments limit their freedom of speech and freedom of movement. Getting back to the UK again, Dr. Savage, it's quite extraordinary that Geert Wilders, the Dutch politician, who has some far right of center views, he has also been banned from the UK. So the point being that with the new conservative government, I think these practices should be revoked, and I think these practices should, which were misguided to begin with under the previous Gordon Brown Labour government, it's time for a fresh start. And one way to solidify the ongoing special relationship between the U.S. and the U.K. is to lift the travel ban, which is still in place against you.
Well, do you think that will happen?
Well, there in politics, as in international relations, having covered it for some time, I think anything is possible, and I do believe that the new Prime Minister David Cameron has perhaps not perhaps exactly identical views that you share with your listeners on the Savage Nation, but I think he has more of a penchant to a conservative viewpoint on those three principles, which I think apply in the Czech Republic, in the UK, in any Western democracy, which are borders, language, and culture. These are, I think, the fundamentals of any society in order to integrate newcomers into a society. You have to have these three principles in place. I don't think that David Cameron would object to those three principles. So I am fairly confident that he may reconsider the blunder of Gordon Brown and remove this somewhat unseemly travel restriction against you.
Oh, I agree.
We discussed politicians. I will just quickly mention the French writer Michel Houellebecq, who had some very strong views on Islam, and he called it the stupidest religion. He's a prominent writer. He was hounded by the courts in France, and he was nearly prosecuted. Of course, he was not found guilty because the French do defend their own citizens, and his right to express himself in the media or through literature was defended. But unfortunately, he had to leave for Ireland. My point is this, that wherever we see the freedom of speech or expression under threat, I think we should stand steadfastly in support of the freedom to travel, the freedom of movement, and we mustn't restrict that on any grounds. Of course, there are national security reasons, but if you are a law-abiding citizen and you express yourself on whatever issue, the travel ban is certainly something that I think your listeners will agree with is not the way to go to uphold our democratic freedoms.
Michael Werbowski, thanks for the article, and thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Indeed, it was a distinct pleasure for me, and I hope it was worthwhile to listen to my views, and I hope that sharing these views will perhaps lead to a positive outcome of this issue.
I'll be right back. If you haven't yet heard it, you must listen to the shocking sound of Laura Bush saying she supports the nomination of Elena Kagan.
How do you feel about President Obama naming Elena Kagan to be the, if she's confirmed, the third woman justice serving on the Supreme Court at the same time?
I think it's great. I'm really glad that there will be three if she's confirmed. I like to have women on the Supreme Court.
You think it makes a difference?
I think it does make a difference, and you know, I just like women to be represented in all parts of American political and civic life.
So that's who was posing as a conservative in the White House for 8 years, and this is what's posing as an attorney general now. Listen to Attorney General Electric Eric Holder.
I understand that you may file a lawsuit against the law. Seems to me the administration ought to be enforcing border security and immigration laws and not challenge them, and that the administration is on the wrong side of the American people. Have you read the Arizona law?
I have not had a chance to. I've glanced at it. I have not read it.
It's 10 pages. It's a lot shorter than the health care bill, which was 2,000 pages long. I'll give you my copy of it if you would like to have a copy. Even though you haven't read the law, do you have an opinion as to whether it's constitutional?
I've not been briefed yet.
So what do you want to talk about in the Savage Nation? Hey, here's an interesting call. San Francisco, Cal, you're on the Savage Nation.
Doctor, the reason why your devoted listeners are interested in what you had for dinner the evening before the show is simply because, well, let's face it, you never have a dull moment in a restaurant. It's either public or
Well, no, wait a minute. That's not true. I do eat, and nothing happens other than I eat.
Oh, but it's always about either some nasty, mean-looking cook with a cigarette out one side of his mouth staring at you weird, and that's when the food is great. But when everybody's nice and everything's just right, the food is always terrible. So, you know, it's akin to a lot of what of us who frequent hospitality establishments also experience, particularly in the Bay Area. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yes, it's very difficult, except for the few restaurants I go to, and I know when to go. I avoid weekends, you know, for sure. You want to have a good meal, go on Monday night.
You get the place to yourself, huh?
You got the place to yourself, and the food is usually purchased Monday morning. Everybody knows that in the restaurant business. Monday night, Tuesday night's nice. But that's not what most, I mean, most people work. They don't have the time to go to dinner on Monday or Tuesday night. So when you go out in San Francisco, Cal, do you find people rude? Do you find the waiters hostile or what?
Most of the time, San Francisco, for as popular as the tourist trade that they claim to have, service is pretty, for the most part, it's pretty low rated. I give it a very low mark, a D minus all the way around, especially out here in Marin County where both of us live.
Oh, my God. Don't get me started on Marin County. It's why I really only eat in San Francisco and in the two places I mentioned, the two kings of Italian, the Aliotto's and North Beach, because, they know me, so they treat me well. That is absolutely true, but they're nice people. They're genuinely nice people. You know what I found in restaurants? Unless there's a patron at the door, I won't go in there. I don't care where I am in the country. There has to be, like, an owner, or let's say a first-class manager who is a de facto representative of the owner, who makes you feel at home and welcomes you, or else the food, to me, Never, it's never right. There has to be someone who really cares about what they're serving and watches like a hawk. You know what restaurants are like. If they start to ignore every plate has to be looked at, or they will slide very rapidly. Don't you think, Cal?
Well, now, every rule has an exception, though, because I took to heart the story you told about the Chinese place. I'm thinking it might be the same place I went, where you go to, it's just a family, and they look at you like you don't belong there, and they hate you, and they'll serve you because they have to.
If you, well, you don't mean out, you don't mean out in the avenues where it looks like Pol Pot's brother is the owner, right?
If you sit kindly.
Yeah, he sits behind the counter. He glowers at you. I feel like in a movie set for like a Vietnam-era movie of like a prison camp. And he's the guard up in the tower staring down with hate. That's the restaurant, that one?
That's the one. If he's promised to sit in the corner and not make any noise and don't order anything that's...
Now, wait a minute. You don't mean... I'm not going to specify. You don't mean on Geary Street, do you?
Of course, yes.
Yes. I mean, the food used to be great, but they have a new trick. Whatever you order, they bring the rice after the food. You're eating the food and there's no rice. Every time it's the same thing. You have to say, where's the rice? Like they never heard about rice coming with the food? Have you noticed that little gimmick?
I didn't. I'll be paying attention for sure next time.
Oh, you mean you get rice with your food from Pol Pot? How did you arrange that?
All I know is I just feel lucky. I get in and out of there and eat without getting hurt.
Well, one of the things I don't like, I used to love it because the food was really the best. The clay pot cookery was the best, but they got so arrogant. They got lazy. You know, they start raking it in and the white people all bow when they go in. It's mainly the university crowd from UC Med Center. Every one of them bows, yeah, and then going to have a glass of water. Oh, thank you. 80 times thank you for a glass of water and a napkin. I mean, after 10 years of that, what you start doing is you spit at the people who come in. You look down at them like they're morons. What are they thanking the owner for? He's in business to serve you a glass of water and a napkin.
We got to know, did Teddy freak out when you showed him a picture of the Labradoodle?
The Labradoodle. No, there's a neighbor's Labradoodle that barks at Teddy. But Teddy is a very well-balanced, good-natured little boy, and he doesn't bark back. He looks at him like he's crazy. He figures it's a product of bad breeding. Real poodles don't snarl. Real poodles don't snarl. They just lift their heads and walk away. Oh, I've had a lot of fun so far today. Why? Why is this man laughing? Because if you stop laughing, you're a dead man. You're a dead man already. Okay, rock and roll. I want some rock and roll. All right, let's go to all the news of the day. I don't know where to begin other than on michaelsavage.com because I spend my days doing what you can't do, which is culling all the news that you don't see. And that is, guess what Greece has to get rid of? Investors Business Daily was told if it wanted a bailout, it needed to consider privatizing its government healthcare system. So they ask, tell us again why the U.S. is following Europe. Huh. Isn't that amazing? We're going down the road that they've tried and failed at. Go tell that to Obama and Pelosi and Reid and company. On the right side of Michael Savage is a YouTube piece that I found where I describe my plea to mentally abused liberals. I really think it's so excellent that I put it up there. You can click and review it yourself. Playboy mum over Savage slamming interview article. See that one. Oh, yeah. See the video of Governor Christie of New Jersey destroying a thin-skinned liberal reporter. Next, you're going to see a New Jersey governor setting the tone for the U.S. The Arizona Ethnic Studies program, we learn, inspires racial radicalism. Many students raising their fists in the same La Raza militant pose as those shown in the textbook. They were teaching them to overthrow America. Of course, there's not much left to overthrow. USSR planned nuclear attack on China in 1969. You're not going to believe that article. Andrea Pisa, New York Post, God bless her. Mosque madness at ground zero. A chorus of critics from neighbors to those who lost loved ones on 9/11 to me feel as if they've been kicked in the teeth by the Muslims who are building a mosque at Ground Zero without any pushback from Bloomberg. Attorney General Electric Eric Holder admits to not reading the Arizona law he is criticizing. The new government in the UK includes the first Muslim woman minister. Isn't that great? That's good. passenger's weapons eludes JFK screeners. Did you hear about that one? The man checked in 2 handguns, 300 rounds of ammo, 5 knives, a sword and a dagger in his luggage, and it got through JFK screeners. I guess they were watching porno or reading their books on EEOC policy.
It must be those really sharp people from the Department of Homeland Security again.
Americans favor the Arizona law by 73%. Ah. Scott Brown okay with Kagan military ban. Who warned you about Brown being a Judas without a Judas with a shave? Scott Brown, you thought was the savior, and I told you he was a fraud. And he said, I do not feel that her judicial philosophy will be hurting the men and women who are serving, said Scott Brown of Massachusetts, who you thought was not Kennedy. He is Judas with a shave.
What can Brown do for Kagan? Everything.
Inhofe says Democrats' climate bill dead. 65,000 people have already signed the petition to get my name off the list of banned individuals in England. Please sign the list. We're going to be forwarding it very shortly. California is mocked as the Venezuela of North America. How do you like that?
Savage.